Good morning. We're continuing with the halachas of Hagolah. So the halacha says that regards to kashrin kelim for Pesach, a person who can afford to not have to kashrin kelim for Pesach, but to be able to get new kelim chadashim, should do so. And that's, Baruch Hashem, we're living in a period of affluence. So a person really can buy new kelim for Pesach and designate them as special kelim for Pesach, a person should do so. Historically, there was times when Klal Yisrael was quite impoverished and they couldn't afford to buy new kelim, and they would have to kasher. They would be kashering a good amount of their kelim to use for Pesach use. Nowadays, it's much less common. The one area where it does come up which we can't really replace is the sink. We want to kasher our sink. We want to kasher our countertops. We want to kasher the burners on our stove. We want to kasher our oven. Those things we cannot replace. But in regards to pots, pans, those type of things, we're going to replace them with new pots and new pans. So since the area which we are going to focus on kashering is much more in these type of items, we're not going to get involved in all of the pratim of Hagolah, how to kasher a keli, like a pot, etc. Now, this is what is relevant if a person trades up his pot for milchus to fleishigs, those type of things during the year. So it is something which we need to talk about at some point in time, but that's not going to be our focus at this point in time. Okay, so a person wants to come and he wants to dress his sink. So the first point we pointed out, that we have 24 hours, we have to make sure that you have not used any hot water in the sink. And we gave a suggestion by turning off the hot water intake valve, and this thing will prevent the person inadvertently from turning on hot water and refreshing the flavor which is there. Okay, let's talk about the parts of the sink. So what are the parts of the sink? We have the actual sink itself, we have the faucet, we have the handles which we will use to turn on the faucet, and we have on the faucet itself we have an aerator at the end, which is that little covering at the end which has like a screen, and inside there's a filter, and that when you take that off it comes out as a, not as a spray, but it comes out more like a stream of water, and this causes it to come more of a spray. Air gets contained in the water and it has a better flavor and has air in it. So that aerator, we don't know if something splashed on it, we don't know if something possibly got stuck inside there, etc. So the best suggestion for the aerator is to actually change it if that's possible. If it's not possible, we'll talk about that. So that would be now the faucet is not directly involved in chametz at all. There's no chametz running through your faucet. It might be inside of your sink, but not inside of the faucet. So what are we worried about? We're worried about the possibility of a splash. So then we have to worry about a possibility of a splash. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the halacha is that we look at roiv tashmisha. We define what type, whether it needs kashering and what type of kashering, based on the majority of usage. So if I have something with the vast majority of time, I'd use it with liquid inside of it, which would require hagola. And one time I used it without any liquid, which means it's directly on the fire without liquid, that we require libun, because that's directly burning something on the fire. According to Shulchan Aruch, I would ignore that one time and I would follow Rav Tashmishoy, which was in a way with liquid, so it only needs hagolah. However, the Ramos says that those who disagree, and we have to be concerned about Mia Tashmishoy as well. And that is the minig for Ashkenazim. For most of that is a minig, and we are concerned about Mia Tashmisha. So even if the whole year, only one time, something splashed onto this faucet, that according to minig Ashkenazim, that would require the process of kashering. But since it's only a splash, we're going to assume that it's only like Eri. It's like, at most, it's like Eri Klerishin. So I can kasher my faucet with the process of Eri. So I can take a kettle and heat it up. Whenever we do Hagolah, we have to heat it to the point that the water is boiling. So I heat the water to the point that there's an actual rolling boil. The water is malababuas, it's bubbling. I take it off of the fire, and I pour it over the faucet. And I have to pour it over the faucet and make sure that the water goes on top and on bottom. So I should move slowly and make sure that the water is going on top and bottom directly from my eerie. And I've kashered the faucet. There is a suggestion that once 24 hours have passed, hot water is not a problem anymore. It's not going to refresh any flavor because the flavor it'll refresh, once it brings the flavor out, it's already pogum. The Hagola is using hot water to bring out the flavor. So I should run hot water inside of the faucet as well, so it's being heated from inside and out. And so again, I can turn my intake, hot water intake valve back on, set my boiler to a good temperature, and I will kosher it inside and out. And that's how we'll deal with the faucet. The handles, really, there's very little chashash that there's ever anything which is going to be splashing on them and heating them up to that point that they're going to be absorbing. But we can do the same eerie on the handles as well, and we've addressed the handles and the faucet. So now, next point we have to clarify over here, when we're talking about doing the process of a hagola or the process of eerie clearation, the surface has to be clean. So we would have to make sure that we're going to clean off the faucet and clean off the knobs, the handles, well before we kosher them. And that's going to be true for the sink as well. Liman does not require that because Liman burns everything out. But Hagola requires that the surface has to be, there has to be direct contact with the surface, it has to be clean. Similarly, if there's a case where there'd be rust, so rust would be a problem. And a person would have to theoretically do Liban on that one spot where the rust is to address. Now, the concern with rust itself is if it's just part of the keli, what's the problem? The concern is maybe there's something underneath that we can't see. Okay, so we've addressed so far the upper part of the sink, and measurement tomorrow we will talk about the sink itself.